Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Two scripture readings tonight, you've heard them already read. Let me share with you again just a couple of verses from the gospel reading and the epistle reading. Actually, all three of the scriptures fit very well tonight. But again, from Luke chapter 16, this is the context of this parable that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. Here's the context. Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." And from 1 Timothy chapter 6, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. The rich are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves, a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." So far, the words of our Lord. The hymn writers are praise songs. The hymn writers of the hymns that are hundreds of years old are oftentimes taken directly from Scripture. I can't help but think and believe that Harry Fosdick, who about 100 years ago wrote the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, in the third verse of that hymn, it sounds just like the rich man and Lazarus, particularly the rich man. Here's what Harry Fosdick writes. "Cure your children's warring madness, bend our pride to your control, shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal, lest we miss your kingdom's goal." Jesus knew the Pharisees of his day. Jesus knew that many people in our world today, Jesus knew that there are many who need to hear this parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, he was the one who was rich in things, but very poor in soul. He was the one who showed shameless, selfish nature, his wanton selfish gladness. He wouldn't share with Lazarus, even though he had many, many riches, and even though Lazarus was very visible to him and seeing that he needed that. And as Jesus tells the parable, as the rich man died, he went to Hades. He went to hell. Shame our selfish, wanton gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Now, God is not saying that he's against riches. God is very much for riches. In fact, anyone who knows their Bible stories knows there's a lot of rich people in the Bible. Abraham, what a rich man that God had made him. Joseph, remember the 12th brother or the 11th brother, but became the ruler of Egypt? What a rich man that he was. King David, a very rich man. King Solomon, maybe one of the richest that was there. In the New Testament, we have Lydia, the seller of purple, and we have Zacchaeus, that wee little man who climbed up in the sycamore tree. But notice how many times we have people in the Scriptures that are rich. God has nothing against riches. In fact, God is the one that provides us with riches, and he wants us to be rich in things. He's not speaking anything against having riches or being rich in things. What he's warning about is being rich in things and poor in soul. Now, he's not telling us in this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, be a Lazarus. Get rid of all your riches and just be this poor person who's there and poor in things and rich in soul. No, no, no. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying to us is, I want you to be rich in things and rich in soul. And you and I can be, and we are, in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that he has for us today. So how rich are we? All these examples in the scriptures, think about how poor they were. They didn't have a kitchen like we do, with an oven and with cupboards and with all kinds of things, central air conditioning and heating and electricity and all those things. They didn't have any cars to drive around. Maybe they had a camel, but that wouldn't be quite like a car anymore. And a garage full of stuff. They didn't have a comfortable living room in which they could live in. They didn't have all the comforts that you and I have. Think of how rich we are, how God has made us so very, very rich. And what great blessings. Thank you, Lord, for all the riches that you give to us. How marvelous that is. What Jesus is speaking about here is priorities. What Jesus is speaking here is he's speaking a warning to those who would put all these riches ahead of him. And of course, that's what the Pharisees of his day were doing. That's what people in the world today who are doing, who only live for this world, who only live for the riches of this world. They're maybe rich in things. Oh man, but the most important thing is their soul. And God does not want them to be poor in soul. As I told you, the context of this whole parable of the rich man and Lazarus was these Pharisees. Very rich men at their time who thought that they were rich in soul, but they had it completely wrong. They rejected Jesus. They rejected his word. They rejected the truth of God's word. And so Jesus is warning them. He's saying, Pharisees, you're the rich man in this story. And the Pharisees mocked and sneered at Jesus, just like many in the world today do, when we Christians speak to them about the truth of God's word and say to them how much Jesus is so much more important than the things of this world, yes, they will mock and sneer us as well. Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Either you're going to love the one and despise the other, you'll be devoted to one and serve the other. You can't serve both God and money. So what's the alternative? Serve God with our money. Serve God and use all the gifts that he gives to us in a way of service to him. That's what he's meaning when he talks about being rich in things and rich in soul. Jesus teaches us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's kingdom comes as his kingdom of grace comes to us. I'm so glad we had the three baptisms tonight. What a great example of how God's kingdom continues to grow through the riches of baptism. God's kingdom continues to grow here, the kingdom of grace, so that the kingdom of glory, heaven, might continue to grow. What God wants is the riches of this world to be used to help people to know Jesus Christ and to help people to know how much God loves them and how much he cares for them. And so he gives to us those kinds of riches so that we might be able to use those in service to others. It's interesting that as the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, he has to write to Timothy and remind him, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and shameful and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. It's the love of money and the things that money can buy that's the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager alone for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs, with many griefs. The rich man in the parable hurt himself through that. Story is told of a man who a tax auditor had come and was going to audit him. And he asked the man, tell me, what property do you possess? And the man said, oh, I am very wealthy. And he started off listing different things. He said, I have everlasting life. And then he said, I have a mansion in heaven. And he said, I have everlasting life, mansion in heaven, peace that passes all understanding. I have glorious joy. Now I'm caught up to the visuals here. I have divine love, which never fails. I have a faithful and a precious wife. I have obedient children. Is it catching up to me? I have obedient children. I also have true and loyal friends. I have restful sleep. I have the crown of life. You getting the picture? The tax auditor then is overwhelmed by how rich that man was. And he said, not only that, but I also have the blessings of my baptism. In baptism, sins washed away and now become a son and a daughter of the King. I have the forgiveness of sins given to me. I have the true body and blood given and shed in the Lord's Supper given for me. I have Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who walks with me and is with me all the time. I have the promise of God that He will work all things for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Well, the tax auditor had to close his books. And he says, my goodness, sir, you are indeed a very rich man, but none of that is taxable. Rich in soul. Rich in those kinds of wonderful gifts that God gives to us. Yeah, that's the blessings that God would have us have. To be rich in things and rich in soul. To rejoice and to know those great riches that He gives to us. And because of that, then, we serve Him. Not to be greedy and to try and get as much of the things of this world as we can gather for ourselves because it costs us too much. Jesus speaks a lot about the misuse of material possessions and the things of this world, not because He needs them. Oh, heavens, He doesn't need anything. But because they can hurt us. Because when our focus becomes just upon this world and the things of this world, it can be very, very harmful for us. And He does not want that for us at all. Instead, what He would have us to do is to have the good life. Not what the world says is the good life, but the really good life. The really good life of living with Jesus Christ each and every day. Of living the good life and receiving the wonderful blessings that God gives to us. Some people chafe when the scriptures and when churches talk about giving a tithe. The tithe is not a law. If the tithe was a law, then God would only give us 10 times whatever we give to Him. How would that be? With that list of 10 things that He listed, plus baptism, plus the Lord's Supper, plus that, think of how gracious God is and how He gives to us such gracious blessings. Oh, we are rich in things, and we're rich in soul as we keep in mind God is the owner of all things. And He gives us all the gifts that we have so that we can use them in service to Him. So that we can use those in caring for our family, in caring for our friends, in caring for our neighbors, in helping out the Lazaruses of this life, of helping out those that need help. Isn't it interesting as Jesus tells this parable, this story, as He talks about the rich man in hell seeing Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and actually talking to him. Pretty strange. But as the rich man realizes that he has five brothers. He has five brothers who are still in the world and he doesn't want those brothers to come down. And so he wants Lazarus to be sent back into the world to warn those brothers. Did you hear what God says through that parable? They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, the Bible, the Word of God, if they don't listen to the Word of God, they won't come to faith. Oh yes, if someone rises from the dead, they will listen. Well, you know what? There was another Lazarus who did rise from the dead, wasn't there? And the Pharisees didn't believe that. There was the one who rose from the dead, Jesus Christ. And they wouldn't believe that either. How important it is for you and for me, as we are rich in things and rich in soul, that we share that Word of God, that we share Jesus Christ with our family and our neighbors and our friends. We speak to them about baptism. We speak to them about the forgiveness of sins. We speak to them about the Lord's Supper. We speak to them about the gracious promise of God, so that not only are we rich in things and rich in soul, but so that they might also be rich in things and rich in soul. God's blessings to us as we continue to share that good news, that wonderful news of our Lord and Savior Jesus, in his precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding always keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.